Congratulations on your show. It's quite mind-blowing, I have to say. I mean, to begin with, I'll have to say, I'm thinking, you were singing for 2 hours non-stop.
I know. What about the four shows I've just done? Two yesterday and two on Saturday. So that's 4 hours, 8 hours of singing over the weekend.
That's unreal.
I know. It's a big thing.
Yeah, it is a big thing. Well, the thing is that people don't realise because they haven't gone to the show yet, but I'm sure they will buy a ticket to Divas. You go into the lives of musical lives of 10 divas, and before we get on to the actual people, what I was really struck with was how different they all are. There's so that like there's 10 of these fantastic female singers, and they're very famous, but they're very different.
That's exactly what we're after. We wanted them to be as diverse as we possibly could. So each style is just so different from the last one. And yeah, so that was exactly what struck you, was exactly our intention.
You know, Shirley Bassey, Barbara Streisand, in a sense, have a similar range, I'll say. You know, like they're brassy, blonde. Not the
Yeah,
same?
I
No,
think Bassie's,
tell me more.
I produce my voice very differently for both of those women, but I guess they can be kind of seen as belters, but Streisand, I would say, is more pure quality and a lighter tone to her voice than Bassie, who's absolutely got a big belty, fruity kind of voice. It's just the way I guess that kind of overlap a little bit, but not really in their vocal quality,
Well,
I don't think.
you tell me, because you're the one, you're the expert. You tell me about the process for you, because you're basically impersonating them through their
I'm
voices.
trying to create their quality, I suppose, impersonate. It sort of sounds a bit lightweight, but I do try to actually create from my own colours and voice what they have something, in them that I can find and re I suppose I recreate the quality, but I don't know if it's, well, if I guess I sound a bit like them, but I also try to get the colours that they have and the obviously the range and intention behind what they're singing. Yeah,
Yeah, right.
but
So
it's all like I've got this. I have a voice that's obviously I have a huge range, but a lot of different colours, and I just have listened pretty much all my life to singers as a child. I mean, I always loved listening to female vocalists, and so it's become sort of almost in part of me, really. There's that, and I just have worked and taken it further and further, and that's partly why this is the sort of peak of my singing career. Also, the singers I've chosen, a lot of them have had struggles or some kind of identity crisis about performing or singing, because I think it myself as a singer and performer, I see my voice as very much a part of me. And if something happened to that, then I would feel like that's part of me gone. And I think that's what we tried to bring to life in this story with divas, what the voice is so much a part of them. It's so, I think that's part of it. You know what we're trying to say in the show.
because I mean, the thing is that you don't change your costume. You do change your
No,
body
no.
movements a bit,
No,
but that's not the point, is
I
it?
changed it. Yeah, no. It's just trying to evoke the character and the speaking, because all of the women in the show also speak as themselves. So that was a whole new thing for me to sort of find their actual spoken voices. And we take excerpts from all real interviews of them and create that story. So we mold it to suit what we want to do in the narrative, but it is actually them, their words that we use.
I thought that was a very tasty element to the story because each of these people, Shirley Bassey, it's Barbara Streisand, Amy Winehouse, my particular favourite, Dolly Parton, Judy Garland, Piaf, Karen Carpenter, and
Miley Cyrus. Dolly Parton does that transition where she says godmother to goddaughter, about she's godmother to Miley, and then Wrecking Ball, of course, is a huge hit
Shit,
for
for
Miley
Miley
Cyrus.
Cyrus. I know nothing
And
about Miley Cyrus.
Flowers.
Yeah, I
Oh,
know
don't you?
nothing
No.
about her. Nothing at all,
you
which is fascinating.
Well, now you do. You
Now I
saw
do.
the
Yeah,
show.
now I do.
Did you say Kate Bush? I can't remember.
Oh yeah, Kate. Oh, and Kate Bush. Yeah, Kate Bush. And the thing that was really interesting was all of these people have had tangles with the mainstream media who have taken liberties with their personas as female performers, haven't they? For example, with well, Miley Cyrus, like Judy Garland, they've all
Oh
got
yes,
different
portrayed them in a
stories.
negative way.
Yeah, they portray them in negative ways. Yeah, as
That's
if
true.
it's separate from them as people. And so you sort of take it back. You give them their agency again, it seems to me.
Try to show this is what they've been through. And as she said, the only harmful thing she ever did was to sing Over the Rainbow. So she's a performer, so you don't have to this overwhelming negativity and accusing her of these things. It just seems so unfair and ridiculous when all they're trying to do is give joy to people.
And also people like Karen Carpenter, who had such a tragic
Oh,
end.
dreadful anorexia, and that's well, we'll bring that to fore. So a lot of them have things like, well, of course, Amy.
Yeah, poor old Amy Whitehouse, yeah.
So some of them, but not all of them. I mean, like Dolly, though she's so successful, and she decided to be, and then Barbra Streisand too, though she was had terrible stage fright and never didn't perform for many, many years. So a lot of them have something, to do with their voice or their singing or their stage presence, where things were not always rosy. But they're great songs,
Yeah, they're great songs. What I realized was the Piaf is what music, what beautiful music.
Oh yeah, such wonderful songs. Yeah, that's that's the beauty for me. It might be a long show for me, but it's great fun because I get to sing all these songs and they're wonderful. And Maria Callas, so
I was going to
being an
say,
opera.
I completely forgot Maria Callas, but I have to say, when you started to sing, everybody in the audience just almost we almost fainted. It was so impressive.
Yeah, that was great. I love doing that, bringing her out where people are just thinking, wow, who else is she going to do? And then I just come straight out with that operatic cadenza, and that's a really exciting moment in the show because I trained as an opera singer here at the Victorian College of the Arts. So I really wanted to bring that extra string to my bow into the show. So that's kind of, So we've got, and then going straight into Amy Winehouse from the classical opera singer is really fun too, because people just think, what the hell?
How did you choose which person to go to next?
We spent ages on that. I think partly because we wanted to be as diverse as, like, oh my God, and keep them separate a bit from each other. Like Amy and Miley Cyrus are sort of the only contemporary ones. And so we didn't want them anywhere near each other, and we wanted to just bring the most extraordinary diversity. So that's why to have her, and then to have Amy, and then to have Amy going into Judy Garland with Summer of the Rainbow was really powerful too, I think.
I do
It's sort
too.
of, yeah, it's a great way to finish with Judy, I think, because it's sort of. We've come so far, but to think there's no business like show business after all that is quite moving, I think.
Well, you don't do any missteps within the entire show. It's absolutely captivating, actually, I'll have to say. And a marathon. I mean, I
I
didn't think about it at the time until it was finished. I actually thought to myself, God, you've been singing for 2 hours.
I know. Think about those double show days.
Oh, I did. Tell me, when you say we thought about it, is that a royal we,
Yes.
or were you working with someone?
I was working with Simon Phillips, the director, who's done so much. I actually met him way back when he was artistic director of Melbourne Theatre Company. But he's gone on to do Priscilla, Queen of the Desert, Around the World, Love Never Dies, and a lot of international success there with his own work. And he's done so much, really. He's a huge star. I originally had another show that I'd done, which is sort of the basis for building on, it was called The Show Goes On, and that was a show that was a little bit had the germ of the idea, but it wasn't until I got Simon on board and he helped co-write the piece and work out which songs and how it should come in, and he directed the whole thing. So it's just a it's just like so good now that it's he's been the one that's really helped make this happen.
Your backing band's fantastic too.
Yes, aren't they?
Yeah.
I love them. They're fantastic. Yeah. Musical director is Mark Jones, and he's put so much work into this, really creating the sounds for each singer. They're all good singers, the musicians, so they've got these great harmonies and backing vocals for so many of the singers I'm portraying. So, yeah, they are. They're marvellous. I really, really rely on them to create that sound.
The other thing before we finish, I suppose, is why did you want to do this? What, I mean, why these people? Why them in particular?
Oh, not necessarily these people, but it's a facility I have, and I just thought, I've done shows before, or plays really, that written for me by Joanna Murray Smith. I did Songs for Nobodies, which went to the West End, and I was nominated there for an Olivier Award with that. But it was a play with five singers, and the singers only got to sing, you know, eight or nine songs within the whole play because it was mainly spoken, five monologues. And I just, people loved it, but they also said it'd be great to hear more singing. So they got more singing in this show, a whole lot more. And I had never done 10. We didn't want to do any more than that because it's just, it would be too short. You know, the little excerpts, little cameos would be a bit too short if we made it longer. So we just decided that 10 would be a good number.
Yeah, it's perfect. What happens with it now? I mean, it's going to be on at the Arts Centre to September the 10th.
Then it's going to Auckland to do a season in October for a couple of weeks. And then we'll see. We're hoping to take it to the Adelaide Cabaret Festival next year and see if it'll be picked up for other places. It's quite portable. It's really just me. Not a very expensive set and like a couple of stools and a microphone. So I think we're looking to see if we can get a bit more of a future out of it after Auckland too.
I'm not surprised. What a fantastic show.
Thank you.
Thanks for talking to me.
My pleasure.